Praise the Lord. All right, well, once again, welcome everyone to Christ Central Church. My name's Joe Crummy, and I'm going to be speaking this morning, and glad that you're here. A big welcome. Anyone's here for maybe the first time from our Alpha series, a very special welcome to you. Thank you for being here. I bring greetings from Christ Community Church in Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Gary and I were there last weekend for the weekend, and so they wanted to send their love. It was great to be with them. And a big thank you to Passionate for speaking last week. And Passionate lives up to his name. He brings passion when he speaks, and we love that. And a timely message. And actually, Gary's going to speak into that Wednesday night at our equipping evening and next week. And I think I can say it because I think she's serving in kids' church, or did she move on me? But happy birthday to my daughter, Anna, as well. So anyways, we'll keep moving along. All right, this morning we're going to continue our series of the book of Galatians called Misconceptions, and we've been looking at just as 2,000 years ago, followers of Jesus could have misconceptions about who Jesus is, the message of Jesus, what it is to follow Jesus, and we can have misconceptions today. So we can kind of learn from them, and we're trying to apply it to our lives today. And I'm going to do a review of where we were 2 weeks ago, and again, you have to kind of use your imagination because this is not a very good yoke. And I think I learned also from 2 weeks ago, not everyone understands what a yoke is, especially if you're under the age of 30, so you might have to Google it. But basically, I grew up in farmland, and so we were used to yokes, so it's like a wooden sort of bar that are put on oxen that kind of hold them together, and also then they're connected to pull a load. So if you can kind of picture that. So this is my poor man's, because no one else came up with a yoke in the last 2 weeks. I'm just saying, okay? You are welcome to, but they're heavy, and they're big, and they're not as common. So this is my, not a limbo bar, this is my yoke. And so we talked about being connected, and whether we know it or not, we are yoked to someone or something. And a lot of times in Jesus' day, they're talking about a yoke. It wasn't like obviously a physical yoke, but you're yoked, you're connected to some form of teaching, influence, everything. So one of the biggest things we're probably yoked to today, I just put my phone down. We can be yoked to our phones. Like, we can be yoked to a certain belief system, worldview, all kinds of different things. And a lot of times, we don't even know we're yoked. We don't even know we're connected, influenced, united with everything. And we are looking at, a couple weeks ago, Paul saying this. There's kind of three ways, this is the brief summary, of being yoked, very briefly. So we can be yoked to the world. That's just our culture. Our culture defines what we think is important, what we value, what we prioritize, what we think is going to satisfy us. What are we going to find our significance, identity, value, security, all those different things. So those are all real things, and we're going to try to find them. We're going to try to fill those things. And Paul's saying one way is we're yoked to the world, which changes a lot. And a lot of times we realize it's a bit off kilter. So that's one thing. We can also be yoked to this, Paul's saying. And this one is a bit more dangerous because it actually sounds like, well, we should be. Paul says this, you can be yoked to religion. And you can say, well, that's better than probably being yoked to the world. Well, depends on how we define religion. If we think religion is what we do to get ourselves right with God, to get God's love, get God's approval, get God's acceptance, if that's all based on what we do and how we perform and how we earn God's love, Paul says this, both of those things, if we're yoked to either one of those, it leads to slavery. It's actually a burden. And Paul's saying there's a different way. And we looked at how we can be yoked to Jesus. And Jesus in Matthew 11 said this, you can come to me, be yoked to me, learn from me, I will give you rest. It's a totally different way. And folks, being a follower of Jesus, it's a different way. It's being yoked to Jesus. And we begin to learn from Jesus what it is to live a life that pleases God. So this morning, we're going to look again at verses 1 to 5, which we looked at 2 weeks ago from chapter 5, but we're going to continue on, and we're going to talk about some things that have to do with freedom, and we're going to flesh this out, and I hope you understand that these things that we're talking about, they're important for every single one of us. So you might not consider yourself religious, you might not even believe in God and say, well, this isn't for me, this is just for the, no, like, this is for all of us, because we all work through and try to deal with these things at some level. And today, let's just read Galatians chapter 5. Again, there's some things in here that might be new to you, things you might not understand. We're going to try to help unpack them for you. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians 5. We're going to have the words up here on the screen. And again, as I encourage you, you can read them out loud if that helps you. If not, I'll read it for you. So here we go. Galatians 5, verses 1 to 15. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Is this actually in the Bible? It is. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Whew! So, we're going to try to unpack some of that this morning and see how that applies to our lives. And so again, we've been talking about our lives, about running a race. We're all heading to a destination. We've all got goals. We're all following someone. We're in this together. And we've been talking about this race of following Jesus. That's our life. And Paul says this: for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So Paul's going a little bit deeper here and talking about things of our heart. And this morning we're going to talk about like freedom. God, Christ has set us free. And Christ gives us freedom in order to change. That's what we're getting at this morning. It is for freedom that you have been set free. And we're trying to describe, what does it mean to be free? What does that freedom mean? And part of it is, it's freedom. Christ sets us free to change. And so one of the things, this is my illustration this morning. Hopefully you can see it. I couldn't find a bigger one. But when we talk about freedom, the things that we're talking about with Jesus, they're spiritual things that lead to everyday life. So I hope you make that connection. Jesus sets us free. It isn't just some sort of theology, theory, and like it's separated. Well, I believe that, and I can park that over here. But in everyday life, this has no impact. No, Jesus influences, impacts everything. And today we're looking at Jesus sets us free. It's like this lock. Like, Jesus is the key. Like, Jesus unlocks and brings freedom. And we're going to unpack that. And one of the things Jesus does, he does this. He brings freedom to our motives and our motivations for why we do the things we do. So let me just define a couple of things. So again, Paul's using in the day, we had this Galatian church, weren't Jewish, so they were Gentiles. And there's a big difference. Jewish people, especially men, were circumcised. That is, they had a piece of their skin removed from them that separated them. It said that they belonged to God, and the rest were Gentiles. And Paul's using that phrase, circumcision, here to say that represents putting yourself under the law. So in the Old Testament, Ten Commandments, but then there were 613 other laws that you had to obey in order to be right with God. And Paul's saying, do you really want to go there? Do you really want to put yourself under 613 laws? Because if you break one of them, you're disconnected from God. You're separated from God. So Paul's saying, look, the law is good, but the law was put there to show our need of a Savior. that there's got to be a different way. So why would you put yourself under that again? So that leads to slavery. Here he's saying uncircumcision refers to those who have no belief in God or no value for God or ignore God and basically live for themselves. And Paul's saying both of them lead to slavery. Both of them bring their own burdens, because for those put yourself under law, you're burdened. Like, that's a tough going. And if you think you're just free and can do whatever you want, you are never satisfied. So that's why Paul's saying those things lead to slavery. Paul's saying this. The gospel of good news of Jesus is this. Jesus not only gets us right with God, so through his death, life, everything we've been singing about in our songs this morning, and we're saying, I believe that, I trust that, I'm going all in on Jesus. And Jesus gets us right with God. Jesus gives us the right to be called a son of God. Jesus gives us acceptance with God. Jesus gives us forgiveness from our things that we've done wrong. And just as Bronwyn was sharing, no matter what our experience is with our earthly dad, who might have been absent, might have abused us, might have been good, but still wasn't perfect, we come to a heavenly Father who is good and loves us, and Jesus gives us access, and we're adopted in, we're brought in, and we have freedom to know that God loves us. We can stop striving. We don't have to just live on our own. We don't have to go after chasing all these other things. And the good news is, God comes after us. Just as Brahman was sharing, God pursues us out of love. Do you hear that this morning? Even though you might be running away from God, there was a point in my life I was running away from God. Hallelujah, God was running after me. Hallelujah. And he brings freedom. And one of the things we use is this. Jesus brings freedom to our conscience. We can have a clear conscience. Folks, that's worth like $1 billion right there, right? Like, we can be at peace with God. I know all the wrong things I've done, yet in Jesus, I'm forgiven. I'm at peace with God. Kelly, that interpretation of that prayer that Angela gave, it's so powerful. Like, God, I might be lost, but you know where you are. I might have been unfaithful, but you've been faithful. Like, we can have a conscience that is clear. And folks, that's freedom. Hallelujah. But Paul goes even deeper. I mean, that's wonderful. That's like the slate's wiped clean. Like, you hit the reset button, control, alt, delete. Like, but it gets even better. Paul says this. Jesus also brings freedom to our motivations. Folks, this is like some serious stuff here this morning. It gets deep. So it's not just like, oh, my conscience is cleared. Oh, I feel. No, Jesus begins to change internal things. That's what Paul's getting at. So Paul, in our day, in our time, it could be a bit like this. Paul could say, well, I'll come back to that, sorry. Let me just think about this for a second. I'll try again. Paul's saying, us trying to obey God out of our own strength, or us following our own desires, neither one of them actually begins to change the heart. That's the key issue. Because both kind of come from a place of either insecurity, I don't know if I'm pleasing God enough, or selfishness that really, and sometimes we don't even recognize how selfish we are, that most of the things we do is either for self-preservation, for our own pleasure, and sometimes even the good things we do for others, the real motivation is at the end of the day, it still somehow looks good for us. Do you track with me on that? And Paul's saying, Christ brings freedom to begin to change all of those things. So let me give you maybe a helpful illustration, and you can go with that, with this, okay? So imagine Angela and I, so 28 years ago right now, because we got married 27 years ago, so before we're married, just use your imagination to help me out with this. Angela's in love with me. I totally get it. I can understand that. I'm totally in love with her, which makes even more sense. And Angela, I know you find this hard to believe. That's why I said you have to use your imagination. Angela being straightforward, kind of black and white, maybe more on the front foot than me, says, Joe, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? There could be shades of truth in some of the story that I'm telling you. Now imagine, you're with me, imagine Angela in the background is thinking this whole time, I'm rich, he's got inheritance that's coming, so not only is he good looking and smart and all these things, like I'm set up for life. But then, as we get closer to the marriage, she realizes this guy's poor, he has no inheritance, and she's like, I'm out of, and kind of dumb. Hey, wait, did I just repeat that? You don't have to accept everything you hear, Barb, okay? Imagine Angela then is like, sorry, we're done. How do you think I would feel? I will not repeat what Adam just said. You feel not loved, rejected. Why? Because I want Angela to love me for who I am, not what I do or even what I bring to table, my bank account, anything like that. I want to be loved for who I am. And folks, silly little illustration, but just think about this. You think about God's perspective. If we come to God and we come to God trying to earn our salvation, then really what's our motivation for doing good? What's our motivation for all these things that we think we're obeying God? To be honest, we're actually using God. I'm going to give money. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do all these things. Kind of using God so that I'll be loved by God. Second thing, if we go with the whole route that we get to earn our salvation, then this is what happens. And this is where I think some of what Bronwyn was sharing during worship comes from. If we think, okay, if I obey God, if I obey all the rules, if I do all the right things, then actually, what is God? God's obligated to accept us. Do you follow me? God's obligated. He's God. And that's what we have. We're like, well, I know God doesn't really love me and God doesn't really like me, but I've obeyed all the rules, therefore God's obligated to let me in. And folks, that's how a lot of religion is built on. And where is God's love in that? But folks, we can filter and we can think that, well, I know I'm a Christian because, you know, I do more good than bad, and you know, well, God kind of has to let me in because he's God. There's an obligation. Folks, this is the truth. God loves you. John Volk, who was one of our mentors for Angela and I, John Volk used to have this saying. I didn't quite understand it at the time, but I get more and more. John Volk would say this, God loves you warts and all. And I'd be like, warts and all? Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, Joe, and I've said this before, we try to present ourselves to God and to each other. If I had a wart on my finger, I'd put a Band-Aid over it. I'd be like, I'd be self-conscious. I'd try to hide it because it's ugly. And I don't want you to see that. So I'm going to try to, I'd be speaking like this the whole time. And you'd be like, Folks, God loves us despite all the things we don't like about ourselves. And I've said before, Christ died for the real you, warts and all. He didn't die for the image you have of the best version of you. God died for the real you. And he did it because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I was preparing this message this week, and I just got stuck on this, and I just felt like God saying, you got to say it over and over and over again. And I'm going to do like a very weak version of passionate, but I'm going to go, somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. A lot of people need to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this this morning, online, here. God loves you, warts and all. He loves the unfiltered you so much, he died for you. So So I was so encouraged. So folks listening, if you're listening to this later, there's a context to this message. We just had an incredible, powerful worship time worshiping God. Angela brings a tongue, language she doesn't know, a heart cry to God. Kelly comes, brings the interpretation in English for us to understand. Bronwyn comes with a prophetic picture and a scripture about how God leaves the 99 to chase after the one. And in her picture, it's not just like the sheep is running away and God's chasing because God loves. Like, I'm just like, there's a theme here this morning. That does my heart good. And folks, this morning, you need to hear and understand and let it permeate your being. God loves you. And he demonstrated that love, sending Jesus to die on the cross for you to have freedom to access God, freedom to have a clear conscience, but freedom that our motivations begin to change. And Paul's saying, as our thinking, so God's word is so powerful because it's truth and it cuts through lies and everything like that. Paul says elsewhere in Romans that Gary read from this morning out of chapter 8, earlier on in chapter 5, Paul says this, the Holy Spirit has poured the love of the Father into our hearts. As we receive love in our thinking, God, you love me because your word says it, it's true, then our affections begin to be changed because God pours his Spirit and his Spirit pours the love of the Father into our heart. And maybe we never received that love from our earthly father. God's love supernaturally can overcome all those deficits, all those voids that were not there from our earthly father or our parents. God begins to show you love by putting you in a community that are the hands and feet of God and begin to, God in the flesh here, embrace and love and accept and work with. And folks, as love, God's love, permeates our mind, it permeates our heart, it permeates our emotions, it changes, begins to affect our affections, guess what? Our motivation changes. We go from being selfish to serving. We go from loving God, not just out of what we can get from God, but we get to love God for who he is. That's what is so encouraging this morning in our worship. We're just worshiping Yahweh, who you are. It's who you are. We're worshiping not just from what we can get from you and what you've done, which are amazing, but God, we begin to change. It's not just, I want to get something from you. God, I just love you for who you are. And our lives begin to change. Folks, this is incredible that we begin to have our motivations changed. So it's not just we had a negative deficit and God gets us and pays our bank account to get us to zero. God begins to pour in that we're in the positive, that we get to live out of the plus and our motivation changes. Folks, that is so countercultural. We can't do it on our own, but God gives us freedom to begin to change. It's motivational freedom. God frees us from duty and selfishness, and our motivation now comes out of love and acceptance from God. Second thing, just want to speak briefly on is this, we're marked. So we have freedom because we're marked. Paul says, brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. Can you again hear Paul as a father, as a coach? He's like, you were running a good race. Who diverted you? Paul's serious. He's like, okay, in the Old Testament, yes, circumcision marked that you belong to God. But a lot of times, and this was God said to his people all the time, you're marked by circumcision, but your heart hasn't changed at all. So imagine today, if I just said to you, in order for you to get right with God, to be loved, accepted, forgiven, everything, you need to get a tattoo of Jesus on you. That's all you got to do, but you have to do it. You have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. And you're like, somebody's got to pay for it. I'm saying, if you got a tattoo of Jesus, you are made right with God. Guess what? You could go and get a tattoo of Jesus, and if you can find someone else to pay for it, even better. And you can say, I've got a tattoo of Jesus. I'm marked. But guess what? Nothing has changed in here. And that's a whole lot of the story of the Old Testament. Circumcision, physical sign, belonging to God. And God says, yeah, but you haven't changed your heart. And the New Testament is, God's not so much concerned about the outward signs. God's worried and concerned about a changed heart. And the New Testament is, it's not so much, so Paul's saying like, yeah, circumcision, uncircumcision, it really doesn't matter. What really matters is a changed heart. It's an inward sign in love. And Paul's saying in the New Testament, and this is for a whole day, and we're going to pick this up in 2 weeks' time, belonging to God via Jesus is marked by, first, baptism, water baptism. Again, we're identified with Jesus, his death, his life, his resurrection. Communion, which we had 2 weeks ago, we're partaking, sharing in what God has called us to remember, Jesus, the cross, his death, resurrection. And baptism, it's an outward sign of an inner change. My old self has died. My old motives, beliefs, my old lifestyle have gone. I've been raised and united with Christ, and he gives us his spirit, and he gives us right motivation and power to change. That's what Passionate was speaking about last week. God gives us power to change. God does it in us. We're marked by the Holy Spirit now. Paul says that he's a deposit guarantee, and we're marked by the Holy Spirit, and he brings freedom and change. We're going to pick that up in 2 weeks' time. Last point, maturity. Verse 13, Paul says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Don't be selfish about it. Serve one another humbly in love. So Paul, and I'm saying this morning, how do we handle this freedom that Christ gives to us? In verses 1 to 12, Paul's saying this, don't lose your gospel freedom through legalism. That is, you go back to trying to keep all the rules out of your own strength and duty, and you miss the heart of God. Verses 13, 14, and 15, Paul's saying this, don't abuse your gospel freedom, and the other extreme is license, that we can live however we want to. Because a lot of times when we hear the word freedom, what comes to mind? I say, Christ has set you free. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. A lot of times, our first thing is, oh, free, hallelujah. But now, I'm a free agent. Now I get to choose what I want to do. Because that's real freedom. In our culture, what's real freedom? I can do anything I want. So I don't want the world telling me what. I don't want the church telling me what. I don't want the Bible telling me what. I don't want social media. So we just think, okay, true freedom is this. I get to choose whatever I want to do. And so that can creep into us within the church and following Jesus. We think, Galatians 5:1, I'm going to memorize that. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Hallelujah. I don't have to follow those rules anymore. It was all old-fashioned. I don't have to do anything anymore. I can just be, thank you, God, that you love me. And then you're just like, woo, I get to do whatever I want. Christ has set me free. Paul's saying, time out. It's not legalism, but it's not license to just go and do whatever you want as well. We think freedom is I'm free to determine my own standards of behavior. And Paul says the freedom Jesus gives you does not mean you're free to sin. He says don't indulge the flesh. He's talking about don't indulge those selfish motives. Because there is a truth, Paul says earlier, you were running a race, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth. So folks, there is a truth to obey. Or Paul says, or else you'll go back to slavery and burdens. Folks, there's a truth to obey, and Paul gives a warning. He says, I don't know who it is who's leading you astray, but they're going to have to pay the penalty. Whew. So folks, our worldview that says it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere about it, doesn't hold up to the word of God. Because Paul doesn't say, hey, I know you guys, the ones that you think, hey, you want everyone to be circumcised. Look, I know you sincerely believe that. Let's just agree to disagree. It's not a big deal. You're being sincere. Paul says, no. Can you imagine Paul? He's like a parent. He's like jealous for his children. He's like, hey, you want to be circumcised? I wish you'd go all the way. Like, Paul's saying, no. What we believe matters. It affects our whole lives. And Paul says, don't lose the freedom that Jesus provides. He's provided us access to God. We're accepted. We're at peace with God. And he says, let's not abuse the freedom Jesus provides. Let's be satisfied in God, because if we go chasing after other things, we will never be satisfied. Jim Carrey, the comedian, they quoted him at Alpha on Tuesday night. Paraphrasing, he said this, I wish everyone had the opportunity to be rich and famous so that they would understand that does not satisfy. Paul's saying, don't lose the freedom Jesus has provided. Don't abuse the freedom. Paul's saying this, and we're going to learn more in the next couple of weeks. True maturity is this. It's being yoked to Jesus, and we begin to question why we do the things that we know are wrong, but yet we seek to satisfy. Or maybe we seek comfort in, or we seek pleasure in. So can I give a very personal illustration of this, which is somewhat painful because it's always personal when you go, oh yeah, here's one of my blind spots that I need other people to speak into. So I'll give you a real life example from my own world. So if you were to say to me, Joe, do you know that lying is wrong, like to tell a lie? I would say, absolutely. And inside, I know, like, lying is not, like, do not lie, it's wrong, fully everything. But if I'm honest, here's what I tend to do until someone points it out to me. I don't really lie. I kind of come close to lying, and this is how it manifests. Sometimes I know in conversations that sometimes I do not speak the whole truth. And in a sense, I'm lying, or I'm not telling the full truth. And I'll get done a conversation and I'll know there's some things I should have said in love and everything that I didn't say. And I get kind of mad at myself. Sometimes I don't even notice it. Other times I'm more self-aware. And so I can try to be mad at myself and say, Joe, you only told half the truth. And you try. But maturity is this. And I'm not saying I'm just early days. But maturity is this. Why didn't I say really the things I should have said? So self-awareness, self-reflection to go, okay, I'm going to take a time out. I'm going to get with God and say, God, what was going on there? And the Holy Spirit begins to show you some things. And it's ugly. It's not good, but I'll be honest. So the Holy Spirit begins to show me, you know, I like to be popular. I don't want to be rejected. I want everyone's approval. I want to get along with everyone. I'm a people pleaser. And all of that, which isn't all bad, but when that overcomes following truth and Holy Spirit and God, that becomes an idol. And I begin to realize I haven't told the whole truth because I don't want to lose that comfort of people's approval and what will they think of me, and they might reject me and they might get angry with me, and I just want to keep the peace, so I will not tell the whole truth. Can anyone relate to that at all? I know that's one of my, and it takes an Angela or a Gary or someone to say, Joe, because then afterwards they hear me go, well, da, 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 and they're like, well, why didn't you say that? I don't. Because they're like, but Joe, you haven't been on, like, you haven't told the whole truth. Like, you should have said that when you're with them, not to me afterwards. You're like, oh. And you begin to realize, okay, I've got some issues going on in here. And maturity is God begins to help us walk through and bring change. So I have to go back to the gospel. I have to go back to Jesus and say, okay, here's the truth. I really am accepted by God in Christ Jesus. God really does love me. I have God's approval. Not because of anything I've done, but because of Jesus. I'm satisfied in God, and I don't need, it's hard, but really I don't need all the other people's approval. Because if I need everyone else's approval, I've made them little g God. And as my security and as my significance and my identity and the love of God again permeates my mind, my heart, my affections, I'm more at peace to be able, now I'm not being a jerk, please hear me, I'm able to speak truth in love in the right context, in the right tone, in the right way, with the right motives. Because actually, when I'm not telling truth to people, I'm actually not loving them. Do you follow me? And if I'm to love my neighbor as myself, and I'm to serve, and I'm to love, then speaking truth with grace, kindness, everything, is actually loving people. When I don't speak all the truth, it's actually not loving people. So that's a real life example, bearing my soul before you, of how Jesus not only brings freedom to our conscience, we're forgiven, we're cleansed, we're made whole, we're made right with God, hallelujah. Jesus begins to unlock and bring freedom to the things of our heart, those ugly things, those things we're not really happy with, those things we know. The good news is this: Jesus loves us so much, he begins to change our motivations. He begins to mature us so that we deal with some of these strongholds, some of these blind spots that affect our everyday life. And not just changing the behavior, but changing our heart and our motivation in it. That's becoming more like Jesus. Folks, in closing, this is the good news of the gospel of Jesus. It's not just he saves us from hell to heaven, eternal life. He does, hallelujah. But sometimes we can just think, well, that's great, and I'll enjoy that 50 years from now, but for right now, I'm kind of left still on my own. No! Jesus is concerned about everyday life. Jesus lived everyday life. And Jesus comes by his Holy Spirit, by his word, by his church. And Jesus begins to bring freedom, not only to some of those bigger things, Jesus brings freedom to change on everyday things of our heart, of our lifestyle, of our thinking. God loves us so much, he doesn't let us just stay where we are. He wants us to be conformed, to be more like his son Jesus, not just in action, but in heart. Because Paul writes in a different letter to end with, in Corinthians, Paul says this: you can do all these things, but if you don't have love, you're missing it. So you can feed the poor, you can use spiritual gifts, you can do all these things, but if it isn't coming from a heart, a foundation of love, it doesn't count. Folks, we want more and more our lives and everything that we do to serve one another, to love our neighbor, we want it from a foundation of we have keep receiving love from God, and that love can help, cannot help but express itself into loving and serving others. So my question as we finish this morning, have you experienced freedom to change? Have you experienced freedom to change? Be honest with yourself. Another question, are you experiencing freedom to change now, or was it something you can look back and say, well, it was then, but actually right now, or maybe you've never experienced it before? Can I say this? Jesus is saying this morning, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And I've talked to people, and they're like, I don't even know how to come to Jesus. You just come and you pray and say, Jesus, I'm here. Jesus will meet you. Jesus has already been chasing you. Jesus has been drawing you. You might not know much about Jesus. Jesus knows everything about you. Folks, I can't say it enough. My heart is bursting with God's heart. Like, God just wants you to know how much he loves you here this morning. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you.
He loves you. He has demonstrated that love through Jesus. He pours the love of the Father into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's given us his written word. He puts us in a family to demonstrate his love. But I'm going to say it again. God loves you this morning, warts and all. You might be able to hide everything from everybody else. God sees it, and he still loves you. He 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 loves you with an everlasting love, a deep love, powerful love, a changing love, a love that brings freedom. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. You're here this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be together. And God, just say, Lord, I trust you that you can get through to people your heart and your word, Lord. Feel, again, sometimes we just fall short, God, but we trust you, Lord, through your word. God, the power of your Holy Spirit, you speak in ways that we understand. And God, I thank you that you're a God who pursues not out of anger, but out of love. That, Lord, there's some here this morning that you're chasing out of love. And Lord, even when we run away, you're faithful to keep pursuing, to keep loving, to keep drawing, to keep revealing. And Lord, I pray this morning that your deep, rich, abundant, sacrificial love would find its way into people's hearts and lives here this morning. Lord, for your glory, for our good, and Lord, for the good of those around us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you. Why don't you stand if you're able?